Scripture reading come out of Matthew, first chapter, 18 through 25. Matthew, the first chapter, 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. As his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found with the child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her own, in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call him Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. So all of this was done that it might be fulfilled which is spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and they called his name Jesus.
This month, many are recognizing Jesus. I'm thankful that those of us who are in Christ recognize him every day. Recognize him through what he did for us and why he did it for us. It's not enough just to know that he did it for us, but to understand why he did it for us. A couple of questions before we get started, and I'm thankful for Brother Mark, who read the scriptures, young man. Pray that he will continue to grow as all of us. Do we want the life that Jesus promised? Jesus promised the abundant life. Do we want that life of suffering? Paul said that he wanted to know Christ, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering. Do we want to enjoy the benefits of being a Christian? Not just today, but in eternity. We understand that if we continue to look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, one day we'll enjoy those benefits on the other side of the clouds. Do we want our families to be better? Do we want to be a better spouse, a better child, a better sibling, a better Christian, a better employer, a better employee? How about a better American citizen? If we want to be better, and I believe that we can be better, then it's going to require us keeping our eyes on Jesus. It's going to require us taking his word and allowing it to dwell in our hearts, as Paul said in Colossians 3, verse 16, richly. Friends, many want these things, but unfortunately believe that they can do it by themselves. Jesus said in John 15 and verse number 5 that without me you can do nothing. Friends, we have to believe that. And every single time we get beside ourselves, or as the older generation says, we begin to get big in our britches. Y'all remember y'all used to say that? For the younger generation, your pants getting too big. Getting too big for your pants. We begin to think that we can do things on our own without the help of God. Without the help of the church. Without the help of the word. Without the help of effort. Christianity requires effort. Looking to Jesus requires effort. The Hebrews writer said in Hebrews 2 and verse number 9, but we see Jesus. We see Jesus. Question we have to ask ourselves is, who is in our scope? We want to see Jesus the way that God has demonstrated him to us in the scriptures. Here it is. Who is your Jesus? What is your Jesus? Is the Jesus that you claim to be following the Jesus of the Bible? You know, they can be different. The only way that we can truly understand the Jesus of the Bible, we have to get away from the television set and watching the televangelist. And we got to get into the mind of God, 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 16. We want to see Jesus. But how can my family get better? How can I have that better life? How can I be a better husband, a wife, sibling, American citizen? And friends, I threw in American citizen on purpose because this is where we live. And if America is going to get better, if our society is going to get better, if San Angelo is going to get better, it's going to require all of us, one person at a time, looking to Jesus. Number one, when we consider, why did Jesus come? We want to see Jesus as King, as Lord, and as Christ. Those are the three things we want to see Jesus as today. And the reason why I had verses 18 through 25 read is because we understand that Jesus is the Immanuel. He's the God-man with us. He's God. And in order for us to truly benefit from Jesus being King, we have to understand first that he was born of a virgin and that this was in the very mind of God before the foundation of the world. And that God, or Jesus, I'm sorry, is not just some figment of our imagination, but Jesus definitely is real. The virgin birth is real. Jesus coming to this world is real. And friends, we have to believe that. But that's just not something that we believe mentally, but it's something that is seen even in our lives. So hopefully this lesson will help us to continue our lives. Y'all hear that word, continue? Because I know the very fact that you're here, you're designed to do what is right, hopefully. That you're designed to be more like Christ. And this is really what life is about. That we are conformed, Romans 8 verse 29, into the very image of Jesus Christ. Thus having the mind of Christ, Philippians 2 and verse number 5. So, why is Jesus King? Jesus is King because he rightfully holds the office. Now, I'm going to do my best not to sweat this morning, which means that I'm going to slow it down and relax a little bit while I'm preaching. Because if not, I'm going to get all worked up, Brother Dennis. I'm glad y'all smiling this morning. We cannot make Jesus King. We don't have that authority. We don't have that power. We don't have that type of control. We don't have that type of rule. Over 1900 times in the Bible alone, the term word king is used. When you consider the New Testament, Jesus is the epitome of kingship. Jesus wasn't a vassal king. Let me explain that. A vassal king was a king that got conquered by another nation. And what they would do is they would allow that king to either stay in that province and then that king would have to report to the king that had them in captivity. Jesus is not a vassal king. He has never been in captivity to no one. If anything, he submits to God and God alone. He's not a vassal king. Meaning that he is not a king under another as it relates to being in slavery, which means that we can submit to his kingship, not wondering or worrying about being in captivity ourselves. What does that have to do with me being a better person? We'll get there. His kingship was and is legitimate. Now we got people, I saw on Facebook just yesterday, somebody denying the deity of Jesus Christ. And if they deny the deity of Jesus Christ, they also deny his kingship. In Matthew chapter 1, I want us to turn verse number 1, and I want us to notice the first 17 verses. We're going to read them. It's time that we get back to reading the Word of God and allow God to do the speaking. Jesus, do you have a right to be king? Let's see. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Now that's important because of him being the son of David, 2 Samuel chapter 7 verse 12 and 13, and him being the son of Abraham, Genesis 12 and verse number 3. Already, if we was to stop reading, we can know for a fact that Jesus Christ has every right to be king. Why? Because David was a king. But we keep reading. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judah and his brothers. Judah begat Perez, and Perez begat Perez and Zerah by Tamar, and Perez begat Hezron, and Hezron Minadab begat Nashon, and Nashon begat Salmon, and Salmon begat Boaz by Rahab. Boaz begat Obed by Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David the king. You know, how often do we read Matthew chapter 1, and when we begin this chapter, we start at verse 18, right? That just go like this. We don't read the genealogy. Why? I don't want to know all those names. I can't pronounce them. But those names are vitally important because our Lord, Jesus Christ, the King, comes through this very lineage. In essence, this is his family tree. There are people today spending hundreds of dollars on Ancestry.com trying to figure out where they come from. I can tell you where you come from. In Christ. The Bible is right. Notice verse number 4, I believe it is. Verse 5. David the king begat Solomon by her who had been the wife of Uriah. Verse 7. Solomon begat Rehoboam. Rehoboam begat Abijah. And Abijah begat Asa, and Asa begat Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat begat Joram, and Joram begat Uzziah. Uzziah begat Jotham, and Jotham begat Ahaz, and Ahaz begat Hezekiah. Hezekiah begat Manasseh. Manasseh begat Ammon, and Ammon begat Josiah. Josiah begat Jeconiah and his brothers about the time they were carried away to Babylon. This is the Babylonian captivity right here. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconiah begat Shealtiel, and Shealtiel begat Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel begat Abiud begat Eliakim, and Eliakim begat Azar, and Azar begat Zadok, and Zadok begat Akim, and Akim begat Eliud, and Eliud begat Eleazar, and Eleazar begat Mathan, and Mathan begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Now, friends, Jesus Christ is not his name. Jesus is his name. Christ is who he was. Anointed. Jesus is the God-man. His name was named Jesus. And what sweeter name than we can say off our tongue than Jesus, but Christ, anointed one, Messiah. Here we see in John chapter 4 and verse 25, here the woman of Samaria understood that they were waiting for the Christ, the Messiah. Notice the last verse, verse 17. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David into the captivity in Babylon, 14 generations. And from the captivity in Babylon unto the Christ are 14 generations. Friends, that did not happen by accident. That happened by God's providence and working. God brought Jesus Christ through this particular lineage. And we understand if you were to go back into the kings, really the Samuels, the kings and the Chronicles, and then you go back into the prophets, you'll see some of the history of these people. The family tree of Jesus Christ wasn't all that good. However, God was good in bringing in Jesus from this particular lineage. Why? Because he wanted him to be king, and kings came out of lineages. And here this lineage was a royal lineage. It was a kingly lineage. And because of that, Jesus came forth from it. And this is why we serve him. We serve Jesus. Jesus deserved to be king. His kingship was legitimate. He didn't buy his kingship. He wasn't like one of David's son, I believe it was. No, it wasn't. It was before Solomon was made king that they were trying to hijack the kingship. But here God intervened into that, and David then appointed Solomon to be king. Oh no, Jesus did not hijack the kingship. He didn't take it by force. As a matter of fact, Bible teaches us in John chapter 6 and verse number 15 that the people of God tried to make Jesus king by force. Remember earlier I said that you can't make Jesus king? He'll run every time. So what does that mean? His kingship, his sovereignty, his rule. He's in control. We do what he says. Question. Does Jesus tell you what to do? Does Jesus tell us what to do? Do we follow after Christ? Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. I want to show you verse 29 and 30. That Jesus not only deserved to be king, but he was made king. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 29 and 30, we see that Jesus Christ is to be sitting on the throne of David. Peter, in his first gospel sermon, said that David is dead and his grave is with us even to this day. And he talks about how Jesus and how God raised him up to sit him on his throne. What does that teach us? That we don't listen to David. People want to bring in the instruments of music, Brother Benson, and they say, well, David did it in Psalm 150. But friends, we don't listen to David. He is dead and his grave is with us even to this day. Jesus is sitting on his throne. Oh, it's not a physical throne in Jerusalem, but it is a spiritual throne sitting on the right hand of the throne of God. And he's ruling, and nothing inside of the king's oracles say that we bring in the instruments to worship God. We listen to that king. Let me calm down. That's the king we listen to. We don't listen to David. For if we was to listen to David, we'll have multiple wives. Brethren, don't say amen to that. If we was to listen to David. But we listen to Jesus, Matthew 19. One man, one woman for life. I didn't say one man, one man. Or one woman, or one woman. I said one man, one woman for life. That's the king that we listen to. We listen to that king. And it is that king that told us that if we just keep his commandments, that will demonstrate our love for him. But Herod, let me make this quick point. And Herod in Matthew chapter 2 and verse number 2 recognized that Jesus was king. He was looking for him. You go spy out and see if the one that is king over the Jews has been born. Pilate, in John chapter 18 and verse 33, are you king of the Jews? Jesus said, is that you saying that or someone else? And then in verse 37 of John 18, Jesus said, unto this end, I was born king. But Mike, what does it have to do with my life? We can trust Jesus because he is a legitimate king, and we can follow his word. And friends, we don't have to listen to another person when it comes to religion. We can listen to Jesus. Question, is Jesus your king? Or have you made yourself king over your own life? There are many who have made themselves king over their own lives. And even in the church, we have many who are walking according to their own understanding instead of the understanding of God. And God wants to be our king. Jesus desires to be our king. And he's king regardless if we submit to his will or not. He's rule. He has all rule and all power and all authority. So friends, Does the king have rule over your life? Do you remember why we're here as Christians? I'm not talking about in worship. I'm talking about in the church, in God's kingdom, the territory where Jesus Christ rules. You know why we're here? To seek and save the lost. Friends, let us never forget that. Let us never forget that focus, that we're here to be the light of the world, not just in our own homes, not just on our jobs, but wherever we go, we need to have that light within us. It is Jesus that rules, but he doesn't have this earthly rule. He rules in the hearts of men. And he desires to rule our hearts. Question, is he ruling your heart? If not, why not? Maybe you're not a child of God. No, I'm not giving the invitation. That's just part of my notes. You'll be like, man, this is good. No. You're not a Christian. Jesus is still king. But the difference between you and someone who is in Christ is that you have not submitted yourself to his kingship. He's king. I know we hear all the time, make Jesus Lord and King of your life. You can't make him. The only thing you can do is submit to his kingship and his lordship. That's all you can do. He's going to be king regardless if you submit to his will or not. He's king. Why? Because God made him king. And because of that, we have to be baptized into Christ. Because of that, we have to be baptized into the church, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. And because of that, we have to be baptized into his blood, Hebrews 9, 14 and 15. Why? Because he's king. This is what he has ordered. Number two, Jesus is Lord. He's Lord. Oh, I don't mind Jesus being my king, but he can't be ruling me. He can't be lording over me. Isn't it amazing that since there's only one Lord, Bible teaches us in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 1 and 2 that elders are not to lord over God's heritage. They already have a Lord. And that's why when you consider, my wife always calls me Lord with a little L. Probably checks me sometime, but y'all get the point. You know your husband is Lord with a little L in your life? Little L. Not big L, little L. Y'all smile. This is a church, right? You can't be big L because there's only one Lord. But he wants to lord over our lives. But Jesus Christ is a different type of Lord. The type of Lord that Jesus is, he's a Lord that doesn't bombard your life. He doesn't make you do anything. He has that attitude, whosoever will, let him come and drink of the waters freely. I want to rule your life, but I only want to rule your life based upon your humble submission. Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, the Bible there teaches us that we need to come after Jesus. We need to deny ourselves. How often? Well, every now and then or whenever you think about it. No, that's not what he said. He said daily. Every single day you wake up and you be like what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 31. I die daily. Lord, he's our Lord. He's always going to do that which is best for us. So, is he our Lord today? In Acts 2 and verse number 36, you remember what Peter said? Peter said, that Jesus whom you crucified, God had made him both Lord and Christ. Question. When we consider the Lordship of Jesus and his rule, do we really believe it is what's best for us? Or do we think our way is better? Friends, this is why we have to be careful with our communication. What do I mean? 1 Corinthians 15, 33. We have to watch those who we are amongst. In the context of 1 Corinthians 15, verse 30 and following, it's in the context of the resurrection. And those who were denying the resurrection and talking bad about the resurrection, saying that it's probably already passed, like Hymenaeus and Philetus. Evil communication, corrupt good morals. if our families are going to be better, if we're going to be a better husband, a better wife, if we're going to be better children, better brothers and sisters in Christ, if we're going to be better American citizens, we have to allow Jesus to lord our lives. I'm reminded of what Peter said in Luke chapter 5, when Jesus told him to cast your net on the right side for a catch. And you remember what Peter said? We toiled all night and caught nothing. But he said, nevertheless, at thy word. You know, sometimes we do that. We read something in the word and like, man, I can't do that. You know what we ought to do? We need to take a step back and say, you know what? Jesus is Lord. I need to love my wife even when she's not lovable. Oh, I'm in your house, Anna. Amen, walls and windows. When your husband, he's just not acting right, you need to still love him and be respectful. He's still Lord. When your enemy does those things that are not right on your job, you still need to be respectful. He's our Lord. When you find yourself in disturbing situations, like in Matthew 14 and verse number 30, here they were on the water. Remember, the tempest was raging. Peter said, Lord, save me. You know, sometimes when things get rough in our lives, the first person we go to is the banker. We call the attorney. We call the doctor. Why don't you call on God first? Yeah. Sister Ferguson said in Bible class, I asked the question, what is supplication? She said in her little old sweet voice, begging. Oh, that's powerful. You know, the first thing we ought to do is go to God and begin begging. Father, be there for me. And the reason why we can go to God in prayer is because of what our Lord did for us by giving his life for us, by paving the way that we can go to God in prayer. He's our Lord. Jesus is our King. We need to follow him and listen to his words. He doesn't mind telling us the truth. The Jesus, the Lord that we know, the Jesus of the Bible, doesn't mind answering difficult questions. How oft shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Matthew 18:21. He doesn't mind confronting you and telling you when you're wrong. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Luke 6:46. Oh, you listen to some people today. In religion, that the Jesus of the Bible, well, you can come to him any type of way. You can be disrespectful to him. You can say anything you want to the Father through him, and it's okay. Not the Jesus of the Bible, because the Jesus of the Bible says that when you approach God, you need to come with humility, understanding that he is God and he's superior to you. Who's your Jesus? Who's your Lord? But he's also the Lord who comforts the brokenhearted. In John chapter 11, verses 2 through 39. Y'all listen to this. You're going to need it. Sometimes our hearts get broken. Broken by family, broken by brethren, broken by our fellow man. Our hearts get broken. And you know who's there to comfort us and pick up the pieces. Jesus. Jesus picks up the pieces. When it seems as if we're just falling apart, you know who picks up the pieces? Our Lord. Oh, he's not just there. And this is why parents, and I've been here, I can say this, you just can't talk to your children when you're mad at them. You need to talk to them when you're happy too. Amen. Take my glasses off so I can't see you. You gotta talk to them and be nice to them. So when tragedy and disturbances and disruptions come into their lives, they'll come to you. That's what God wants. God says, I'm your Father. Jesus is your Lord. Come to me through him. Listen to his word. Allow him to pick up the pieces in your life. Because he's the only one that can really mend you. Our Lord. Our Savior, Jesus Christ. Number three. I like that point because At times, friends, sometimes the only one knows that you're hurting is God. The only one that knows that your pillow, like what the psalmist said in Psalm 65, he said, aren't my tears, you put my tears in a bottle, aren't they also in your book? God knows. And we need to hear that sometimes from the pulpit. That the God that we serve and the Lord that we serve is a God that picks up the pieces in your life and he can get you back together. He's not just a God that sits down, sits high and looks low and trying to catch you to do something wrong. No, the total opposite. He's hoping and praying that you get it right because he wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That's the God that we serve. That's the Jesus of the Bible. We ought to be just like him. Number three, Jesus is Christ. Over 560 times the word Christ is used in the scriptures. The anointed one, the Messiah. It's amazing that the Jews were waiting for the Messiah, and when the Messiah came, the majority of them didn't accept him. John 1, verse 2 and 3. Yet the Samaritans in John 4 was waiting for the Messiah. Jesus has this encounter with her. She goes back and tells the city, and here they come up Mount Gerizim. Jesus tells his disciples, the harvest is white and ready for picking. Oh, that's the Christ we know. But Randy, that's the Christ we know. Here he is, Mount Gerizim. It's called the Mountain of Blessing. And here is the blessing sitting on top of Mount Blessing, ready to give a blessing. That's the Jesus we know. That's the Jesus we preach. That's the Lord that we serve. That's the Christ that we've been waiting for and is here. And friends, he's the Messiah. He's the divine chosen one. He's the one that delivers man from their sins. We can't make him Christ. We can't make him Lord. We can't make him King. God has already made him those things. And praise God that he's already done the hard work. And now we can do the easy work by just submitting to his Messiahship. Submitting to his Lordship. Submitting to his Kingship. Why? Because God has already made him those things. He's already done us that great favor. The more I think about that, the madder I get at myself sometimes, Brother Benson. Because sometimes I don't submit to all those things at times in my life. And I gotta go to God and say, Father, I have sinned and I'm sorry for being hard-headed towards you. And even though I'm a preacher of the gospel, I'm being hard-headed. Forgive me for it. Friends, that happens to us. So what we do is we get ourselves together and realize that God is in control, that Jesus is King, that he is Lord, that he is Christ. Paul remembered this as we come to a close. How does all this help our families? Friends, when we get ourselves in line, in place where we belong, everything always falls in place. That's what God is teaching us. Stay in your spot because you will never occupy my right hand. You'll never occupy the sinless arena on earth. That's reserved for those who keep themselves pure and hear the words, well done. Paul in Acts chapter 9 and verse 20 through verse 22. Makes a very interesting connection about Jesus. He went and he brings up Jesus, Joseph's son of a carpenter, the one that walked the dusty streets of Jerusalem and Nazareth, born in Bethlehem. He speaks of this Jesus and he talks about this Jesus and then he says he is very Christ. He's Messiah. In our day and time, people, they make that connection mentally, but they don't make that connection practically in their lives. Because they understand that Jesus is Christ. They understand that He's the Anointed One. They understand that He's Lord. And they understand that He's King. But in their lives, they reject it. Friends, we can't be that way. Our message cost Jesus' life. And friends, our message of Jesus Christ will cost us ours. No wonder Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through verse number 27, if any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. What would it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what would a man give in exchange for his soul? What are you willing to give up? We ought to be willing to give up us. But isn't God good that when we give ourselves up, He gives us more than what we deserve? That's the God that we serve. I leave you with this. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 10. Y'all turn there real quick. Did I say Matthew? I meant Revelation. Dennis, put Revelation in there. Don't put Matthew. Dennis, good guy. I like Dennis. In Revelation chapter 12, I want us to notice this. How does God's people overcome? How do we win? We express Jesus Christ being King, Lord, and Christ. Now, we just went over the surface. But how do we win? How do we win when Satan's bearing down on us? How do we win when life is bearing down on us? How do we win when we defeat ourselves? How do we win? Revelation chapter 12, starting at verse number 10. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him. Overcame who? Satan. Friends, let me go ahead and tell you the truth. Satan can't do anything to you unless you go into the area of the chain in which he has been bound. You don't ever have to worry about a rockwaller biting you if he's on a chain. Unless you go in the vicinity of the chain. Isn't that interesting? You can sit there and go to that rockwaller all you want to. And the only thing he can do is jump at you. Jump at you. As soon as you get close enough, here he come. He gonna get you. Now y'all laughing, but that's what we do with sin. We get in the vicinity of the chain. Stay out of the vicinity of the chain. Stay under his kingship. Stay under his lordship. Stay under his messiahship. And you don't ever have to worry about Satan snatching you. Oh, but how do they overcome? Here it is. That's good preaching right there. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives to the death. How do we win? By the blood of Christ, by the word of God, and sacrificing ourselves. The hardest person to say no to is who? The easiest person to say yes to is who? Why don't we say the easiest person to say no to from now on is me, and the easiest person to say yes to is Jesus. And then we'll submit. We'll be ready. And when we die, we're here well done. If Jesus comes first, he'll take us with him. And that's what life is about. Friends, I know some of us think we might be here next Sunday, but the likely case is that we could die at any time. Don't live your life as if you got all year. We got right now. Bring your family up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Keep them coming to worship. Keep them coming to Bible class. Keep talking to them about righteousness. Keep helping them in their lives because we want them to be saved. In the church, we want to be saved. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. Maybe you haven't obeyed the gospel. You're contemplating. You're thinking about it. Jesus is King. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Christ. Whether we are on the earth or not. But since we're here, don't you want to submit to his will? Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Repent of your sins. Confess Jesus Christ to be Lord. Be buried in water for the remission of your sins. And God himself will add you to his son's church, the church of Christ. Live faithful even to the point of death. And God will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But maybe you're a child of God and you haven't been submitting to his kingship. You haven't been submitting to his lordship. You don't even acknowledge his messiahship. Let's begin doing that. Let's do it right now. Today is the day of salvation. Now's the accepted time. As we stand and as we sing, our blessed Savior's invitation.